Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, what the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster. Is it a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
You may.
Seven or eight quick ones, and you're off with the boys to boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Bob Zemo Radio Showgram is proud to present to you insights and commentary from a fat guy in spandex. Oh, good God.
Oh, crap. You know, it helps if you turn on the microphone. Hello, McFly. You are my density. It actually helps in radio if you turn on the microphone. It's a bit of a technological advancement, microphoning. And, of course, it's a bit of a sophistication. It'll demonstrate that you are sophisticated and educated if you know how to turn on your own microphone before your own radio show. Hey, everybody, welcome to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe. I am a fat guy in spandex. And today I got a question for you. I was at the bar having a good time, as I normally am, sitting in my chair. I have my chair. It's the fat guy chair. I love it. People know me. I come in, people go, woo, how are you? You know, people come in, they want to talk to me. I'm kind of a celebrity in this part of Tempesta de Merida, Florida, here at the Grumpy Gator Cafe, kind of a celebrity. I don't think a lot of outsiders, a lot of locals know me, you know. They like to hear me wax on and wax off. I'm sort of the Karate Kid of conversation. Yes, indeedy. But I was sitting there one day, and I had taken to not shave for a couple of days. I'm a basically lazy guy. I mean, my approach to life is to embrace laziness, is to embrace the art of doing nothing, to embrace the notion of just being. I mean, isn't that what all these self-help gurus are telling you to do? You know, live in the moment. Be you. Embrace who you are. Some crazy-ass dude on the Behavioral Health Espresso yesterday talking about embracing yourself. Talking about loving your personality and your temperament, you know, so I go and do that, right? I don't shave for a while. I kind of embrace the art of doing nothing. I embrace my personality and my temperament, that I'm a bit lazy, and then you're told that's wrong. Then you're told that's not what you're supposed to do. Oh, no, that's not what I meant. I mean, when I'm talking about embracing your personality and your temperament, we're assuming you're going to be a productive member of society. Well, but I am productive. I'm not hurting anybody, am I? I mean, my lack of shaving isn't going to hurt anybody now, is it? Unless, of course, I spend some quality time with a fine person, a fine woman, who might find the beard a bit prickly, who might find it a bit ticklish. But who am I really hurting? This is a dichotomy that drives me nuts. You are who you are. You embrace who you are. You embrace your personality. You embrace your temperament. And then you're told, oh, well, you know, you need to be productive. Laziness is bad. B-A-D, bad. I don't get it. So I took to not shaving for a while, which is all right by me. I don't need to shave all the time. And I'm sitting here at the bar, kind of minding my own business. I was watching a hockey game. You know, always unusual to be watching a hockey game while you're wearing spandex in a tiki bar. Hell, who cares? I'm from the Great North. Now down here, being lazy, not shaving, wearing spandex, watching hockey. It is my life. Love me or leave me is my kind of approach. But the waitress came over. She brought me some of my chicken wings. And she said, hey, you're starting to look like a chipmunk. Huh? What? Yeah. You're looking a little puffy. And so when you grow the beard, you're looking like a little chipmunk, is what I heard. And my first thought is, damn, that's sexy. Damn, that is sexy. And then my next thought is she ridiculing me? I mean, is she being serious? Is she being sarcastic? I mean, I'm pretty, I pride myself on being a fairly, good read of people. I wasn't sure. Are you joking? Are you being serious? Are you showing concern? I mean, who calls somebody puffy? What does puffy mean? Does that mean I'm a fat ass and you find me unattractive? Does that mean you're concerned with a couple of pounds that I might have put on over the last couple of weeks? I mean, it has been a fun hockey and NASCAR started. Could it be that after speed weeks, sitting in the grumpy gator, having a good time watching speed weeks, bartender is kind enough to put my NASCAR on one of the panels. He loves me. I know that because he puts my racing on. And my hockey. Could it be, though, that I had one too many chicken wings, one too many mini burgers? Could it be that I had put on some weight and she was showing concern? I don't know. You are puffy. And the best part is she called me a chipmunk. What does that mean? I mean, the only thing that ran through my mind was that song. And so that's how I responded to her. She said, oh, you're looking puffy, and you look like a chipmunk. So I started with, well, I'm Chip, you're Dale, we're just a couple of crazy chipmunks out to have some fun. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Let's go and have some fun tonight when you are off. Oh, yes, indeed we can. And then she was in my predicament. She wasn't sure if I was serious or I was kidding. Don't you love that? Don't you love messing with people like that? I know they love messing with me like that. I love messing with them like that. Because quite honestly, when she came over and said, you look puffy, and kind of grabbed my cheeks, did that auntie thing, I never had an auntie grab my cheeks. I had an aunt once grab my cheeks, well, the other furry set. But never an auntie, never grabbed my cheeks. I never had that, but you've seen that, right? TV, movies, that kind of thing. Oh, you're so, and they squeeze you. She kind of came up and put her hands on her and kind of jiggled my fat a little bit. I was like, damn, I'm getting turned on. I got me a semi right now. Holy crap. Whew. I'm turned on. And then I quickly moved into, you look like a chipmunk. And then this whole cognitive dissonance thing that I had. I sound educated, don't I? Folks, I am a counselor. I do have a master's in counseling. I'm just down here in Tempesta, Demerita, Florida, killing some time, enjoying the rest of my life. This is the part I've worked for all my life. So now I'm down here, just a freaking beach and bar bum, pontificating and bullshitting on the quality of life. It was, You know what I'm talking about, right? You've been there. You're wondering, all right, is serious? Not, and you're kind of thrown off. And then the whole erotic, turned on kind of a thing, It's like, wow, it's not like I'm hard up or anything. So I'm not trying to impress any of you out there, I'm 50, but I don't take Viagra. I don't need the little blue pill, okay? I don't need it. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to, I'm a fat guy. I'm overweight, overeducated, underemployed, opinionated, irreverent. I wear spandex. I'm not saying that I brought sexy back. But also, I'm not saying I put sexy into exile either. So at the end of the day, folks, one of those moments where your mind is swirling around trying to figure out what's going on here. But there was a piece of it that was very compassionate, very tender, particularly grabbing my cheeks. And there's another, you know, it's not often that people get that close to you and they grab your cheeks and they talk about you being puffy and being a chipmunk. It's hard not to interpret that particular action as a sign of affection. And then, of course, when I turned it around and sang the song, that was the typical fat guy response. Kind of quirky, kind of funny, kind of comedic, but using the humor to diffuse the tension. Was it really compassionate, or is she mocking me? Am I the butt of her jokes? Don't you hate being in those positions? Don't you hate kind of not knowing? But then, don't you love the deliciousness of the tension? Don't you love the deliciousness of the dissonance? Where you're going, I don't know what this means, man. I'm turned on, I'm offended. She's touching my hairy cheeks. Now these, facial, keep your mind out of the gutter, people. You know, is she enabling my bad behavior? I mean, she's literally bringing me a plate of chicken wings, and she says, you look puffy and like a chipmunk. I mean, what is this? Is this like a heroin dealer coming and giving some stuff to a heroin addict and saying, well, yeah, you know, your delusions are really beginning to sound more like reality. Perhaps you need more. You know, I mean, when you're a heroin user or cocaine addict, and suddenly the delusions that occur because of the dopamine and the epinephrine and the barbiturates dumping into your system, when suddenly those delusions seem rational, perhaps you need more. Perhaps that's what she was saying to me. You're puffy. Perhaps you need more. Or perhaps she was saying you're puffy. Perhaps you should slow down. Oh, the deliciousness of dissonance in our relationships, the ambiguity in our relationships. Oh, man, I anticipate ambiguity, and I love the deliciousness of the dissonance. It makes life fun and exciting. Because if life were predictable, if we knew where people were going with things, if we truly knew what people meant, if we were so literal, so logical, so rational, I'd drink myself into a stupor. Sometimes, though, it's difficult to deal with that ambiguity, to deal with that dissonance, to deal with the illogicalness of things, to wonder what the phrase WTF is an indication of just how exciting life can be. How exciting life can be and how exciting it can be to embrace it, yes. So embrace that ambiguity. Embrace the dissonance. Enjoy the lack of logic. Enjoy the lack of closure. I mean, the amount of psychological tension that we feel because of it, because our mind, our brain actually, can't get its enough facts so that our mind can construct a clear enough vision. Brain is struggling for facts. Oh, my God, I can't find facts. I can't find facts. I can't find them. And the mind over there going, come on. The picture's unclear. We've got some dissonance. We've got some ambiguity. Come on, brain. Your ass. And get me some facts. But think of the psychological thrillingness, the excitement that comes with ambiguity and dissonance. I got to tell you, folks, I'm going to take it every time. That's a cocktail and a set of chicken wings that I just simply can't pass up.
Time for me to fly.
Here's done. I'm needed elsewhere now. I'm needed wherever outlaws rule the West, wherever innocent women and children are afraid to walk the streets, wherever a man cannot live in simple dignity, and wherever a people cry out for justice.
Bullshit!